This is The Hollywood Outsider, and welcome to our Season 5 recap of The Walking Dead. We've done this now for a couple of seasons, and the feedback has been phenomenal, so we couldn't wait to wade back into those slimy, murky waters of The Walking Dead. I am your host, Brian Williams, and joining me on this barbecue is the man who taught parenting 101 to Carol, Aaron Peterson.
Oh, I love her, too. Hey, what's going on?
You want
some cookies? I'll make you some cookies.
But you just better... don't make me look at the flowers.
Ooh.
And yeah, and keep in mind, you should probably preface this will be spoiler heavy. So if you're not caught up, I would recommend coming back to this.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Consider this your warning. This is basically nothing but spoilers. So
exactly.
Thank you for downloading, but pause it, watch the show, come back later. And now also voted most likely to hide in a church from his family, Scott Clark.
I am running far away from a church as possible at this point. What are you talking about?
Yeah. That guy's church. Right. Fuck that guy. God. we'll talk about him later, but God, fuck that guy. Oh, by the way, profanity. There's an explicit tag too.
Are you talking about Scott or are you talking about the guy?
Fuck both of them.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure I was on the same page.
Yeah. Fuck them both.
Oh, man. So y'all had we're recording this just a couple of days after the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
So, adrenaline is still pretty high from it. But I think we've kind of come down to earth a little bit. Overall, just what'd you think of the finale? Just kind of real quick.
Oh, before we get into the nuts and bolts of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, how'd you think it kind of rated with as far as Walking Dead finales go?
Here's the thing: the very end of it, like how it ended and faded to black and whatnot. It's not as good as last season, because last season I was like, I was ready to just I can stab somebody, and at the end of this season, I didn't have that moment. It was just like I couldn't believe what was going on, but everything before that was the best finale I think we've had in The Walking Dead. Season finale we've had in The Walking Dead.
I will say as a whole, because it was a 90-minute one, mm-hmm. I felt engaged for the whole 90 minutes as opposed to, there's episodes here and there where I feel, man, this is really slow. There's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you could step out, grab a bite to eat or right. something and come mm-hmm. back and you don't feel like you've really missed a whole lot.
Yeah, I felt like it was glued to the screen through this entire episode. And I feel like that's the first time I felt that compelled to sit down. I think I told you guys even on the Facebook group that we were talking about, this is the first one I've watched live and was able to actually like chat with you guys at whatever on it while we were doing it. And that was kind of fun because I always had to watch it the following day and there's no way I was going to miss this one. And I'm glad I did because it was intense.
It was great. Mm-hmm. Really, really loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it was so I almost hated to type something in the Facebook group and stuff, because we're watching it, which is kind of grown to be a lot of fun here because we're getting more and more people chiming in.
But everybody wants to be the first to make a joke about something. So you're like, I want to wait till commercial to type this, but
right. But it's that's added a really nice aspect to it. Mm-hmm. And just, but I agree totally with you, Scott. It was just one of those things to where, I couldn't tell you what was going on outside the parameters of my TV screen because my tunnel vision was just glued.
Absolutely.
On my TV the whole time that was on.
Let's get into it. Let's do this, man. I'm excited.
Let's do it. So basically real quick, instead of kind of running from episode 1 through 16, we're going to kind of jump around from landscape, from the location to location. So our main focus will be on the show, not so much the comic. I don't really, Aaron, you've read the comics a little bit, but I don't think the show has pretty much done well enough to where it's created its own thing while using the comic as the inspiration.
Yeah. And I will say, thankfully, it seems Walking Dead fans aren't as bad as Game of Thrones fans because they don't spoil the shit out of everything. But part of that is because they've added so much that's different from the comics. I mean, there's a lot of similar threads, and I know where some things are going.
Well, I also think that a lot more people have read Game of Thrones than have read the comics just because of the medium. I think a lot of people look at Walking Dead as
comic book.
Yeah, it looks like a comic book. I'm not going to go read a comic book. If it's a book, I'll go read it, but I'm not going to read it.
That's probably true.
So you got a much bigger pool of people that have.
I think that they have done enough to separate themselves from the comics that it's his own thing. Mm-hmm. I really think Robert Kirkman, the creator, who wrote the comic and he's an executive producer, he has done enough to make sure that the show has separated, made its own thing. You've got characters that aren't in there. You've got characters that are, you know, dead in the comic and are alive in the show and vice versa. So, I mean,
you got to respect him for that because that's like his
art. It's his baby and he's letting it grow and and become its own man.
Right. You're going to say Fester.
Yeah, Fester.
He's still got his hand in the pot, but he's letting the rest of the people, you know, cook the meal, so to speak. Yeah, I mean, and just so you guys know, we will probably do a little jump around with the timeline a little bit. Might even get confused a little. There's a high possibility of that. And we probably will even fight about the nuances of Carol's baking skills versus Gareth's grilling skills. So regardless, we're going to have a lot of fun. We hope you will too. And there's a whole lot to cover. Let's get started. Let's go start up at the church. So when we ended season 4, it was a kind of a typical television cliffhanger. But what did you think about how quickly the Terminus storyline was wrapped up after taking so long to lead up to it, Scott?
I got to be honest, the way that how quickly we went away from Terminus was kind of disappointing because we had half of the season, at least, if not more, that was gotta get to Terminus. And then we get there and it felt like there was one or two episodes in Terminus and then we just like that's up, we're done.
No, there was one episode in Terminus.
Was it just the one?
It was just the one.
All that lead up for such an early dismissal. I mean, to the writer's credit, maybe that's a
there's something to be said for that. You know what's funny is I think that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing.
Yeah.
Because all the fans were like, well, here we're going to be there for 8 episodes. Because Scott Gimple, the showrunner, always says, you know, every 8 episodes is like a new show. You know, he reinvents it. So we figure we're going to be there the whole 8 episodes. Turns out we're there one friggin' episode. Carol is the Terminator, and we're out of there.
Yeah.
And I was really, really shocked by that. But I loved it because, I mean, that really got you amped up. You basically completely changed several characters at that time. You had Carol, who had really been kind of like just dragging along, drifting through ever since she, you know, showed Lizzie the flowers. And to have her come back just full force and basically reinvented that entire character. Mm-hmm. Melissa McBride did a fantastic job. I mean, she just stepped up to the plate. And, you know, in that one episode, she went from a woman who was, she seemed lost and just gone and came back as the one everybody wants to follow.
Like, seriously, like, even going back to, like, the first or second season, when you first meet Carol, did you ever think that she would have been the one that would have outlasted?
Fuck no.
Like, all these other people?
Never. Never.
No.
And I'm so glad that she did.
It's fantastic. Her arc, where she's gone, where she started from to where she's ended up. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I try to, that, I mean, she's really, in a weird way, one of my favorites because of that. And it's, but I'm really kind of torn with the, I don't know if I'm torn. I think I'm just on both sides of the fence on how it ended, because I like the fact that it wasn't what I expected. It wasn't, all right, well, they're milking out 5 or 6 episodes of, are these people really good or bad? And we all really not so deep down know that they were still bad, mm-hmm. you know? So in that aspect, I'm glad it was kind of like ripping off the Band-Aid. It was quick. Like, yeah, we're bad. Yeah, we're trying to eat you. And oops, it went bad for us.
I just feel like we didn't get enough backstory. And that was a world I wanted to see more of, because I'm like, wow, now we've got cannibals. And, I mean, they have this entire setup that is fantastic for how you trap people. You know, they've got all these things leading to this area. And then,
great marketing.
Yeah. And we kill them all and we leave. And I just don't know, or we think we kill them all, and we think we burn the entire place down.
It
did seem a little fast. I loved it, but I do think, like, the second and third episodes, as we got away from it a little bit, I was disappointed, because I would have much rather have spent 3 episodes at Terminus than I would one more minute with Father Gabriel. So.
Yeah, and that was my thing. We spent so long building up to it. I felt like it deserved more.
Right.
I don't know if it deserved a whole half season inside those fences, but I felt like it deserved more than just by 45 minutes into the next episode. It's, you know, the first episode of season five, we're out of there, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so. It's funny because when I looked at Brian's format, you know, he basically does it from, he goes from varying location to location to kind of make it easier to put it all together. And he says it's a church. And I'm like, wait, what about Terminus? And then I thought back, I'm like, wait, what about Terminus? We weren't really there. So good call.
Terminus is more like a season four thing.
Yeah. It was like, see, I had more Terminus in season four than I think I got in season five. But it was still great.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. Absolutely. After they leave Terminus, we do meet Father Gabriel for the first time. He's crying for help on top of some rock, whatever he was doing out there in the woods by himself, all defenseless like Bambi and stuff. But anyway, we found out that eventually that is, he let his flock die. And as far as my early impressions go, they really haven't been proven wrong by the end of the season.
Mm-mm.
Aaron, were you hoping he would kind of maybe toughen up, get a little more hardcore, or you just kind of prefer him being the weasel?
What I preferred was they were going to go the route of faith, and we were going to get a little bit of faith introduced. Now, maybe a man who lost his faith and then found himself and became a spiritual leader. You know, you've got Rick, you got Carol, you got Daryl, you got all these people that are group leaders. I thought it would be interesting to introduce a spiritual leader, you know, kind of removed from Herschel because we've had that aspect, but just somebody who could try to keep the humanity together. And it just never went anywhere. And all he was a whiny bitch the entire frick. I mean, you know, the show has a tendency to kill off every major black character it has and then replace it with another black character. I know it sounds racist, but historical record is historical record. Right. And I was like, please let him be that one. Because, you know, you kill off Tyrese, you kill off Bob, who I didn't really like that much, but I mean, I dug him. And
yeah, he kind of grew on you a little bit towards the end.
Only when he's being eaten. But the end, Gabriel, by the time you get to the end of the season, I'm just like, fuck this guy. There's nothing about him that he should still be living by season's end.
Yeah, but your whole fuck this guy is more like just because he's not as interesting instead of like, fuck this guy.
Exactly. It's not like, I hate him because I hate him. It's I hate him because he sucks.
He's just not well written. Not super interesting. The only interesting scene that I felt that we had with him was when he is talking to... who's he talking? Maggie's hearing a conversation. Maggie's in the stairwell overhearing a conversation that he's having with, is it Deanna?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
who's Deanna?
Sorry.
Yeah, that was
I
bad.
Had to work that in there somewhere, and that was just the best time to do it.
So. No, actually, Brian, you didn't have to. You just chose to.
But that felt like really the only fleshed out moment from him. Everything else.
That moment I really liked, even though a lot of people hated him for, you know, you're basically going against their group and you're selling them out.
But it was interesting.
And I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but the character.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I liked about him in the sense, not so much him as the character or whatever, but I liked the fact that, okay, this drew an emotion out of me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Other than an eye roll, which isn't an emotion, but, you know, still. He comes on the screen and you're going, in this fictional world of zombies, this guy is just fucking ridiculous and not believable.
Yeah, and he goes from at the church, and we finally find out exactly who he is, and then he let his flock die, and he locked them out, and he let them die in the apocalypse. So that's a horrible, horrible thing. He has horrible, horrible guilt, and he continues to do really dumb things. And then he sells out the group that saved his life and basically calls them evil. It's like you're totally forgetting all the bad stuff. Maybe it's because his motives are so blurry or he's just very poorly written. He's just not a character I like at all. And it's not a, like you said, Scott, it's not a, oh, I love hating this guy. It's just, I just don't like the character as it is written.
Do you have to like assume, and again, I'm jumping ahead, but that maybe there's a little bit more that we don't know yet.
I certainly hope so.
Because what other reason is there to hang on to that character at this point?
To leave gates open and shit?
There's got to be something more interesting happening with him, and I really hope that happens because I don't hate the character. I'm just kind of bored with him.
I just think you don't let the aimless guy looking into the clouds, you don't leave him in charge of locking the gate. That's just one of the rules you should have in any community.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
Absolutely.
Sorry, we
just hey, no, really, and just kind of really before we kind of, because we're about to get out of the church here pretty soon. But just as a little trivia thing, the little scriptures you see on the wall, as far in the church, if you look them up, they all have something to do with the dead arising.
Oh, really? Easter egg. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's so kind of like the titles of the episodes near the end of the season, the last half of the season, all have to do with Herschel's quote.
Quote, yeah.
In like season two or three, something like that. Google it. Google it. It's true.
Oh. I'll have to look into that.
You will.
All right. Well, you did mention Bob, and you weren't a huge fan of him, but was him being quote unquote tainted as he dropped on the hunters? Was that much of a surprise for you, Scott, or did you just kind of see that one coming?
I really did kind of see that one coming, even before he started laughing about it. And obviously we're talking about this group that started, were revealed to be cannibals, you know, chopped off his leg.
Terminus crew.
Right. Had his leg on a spit, basically. We're cooking it and eating it. And it was basically revealed that, yeah, he was bitten. So he was, his meat was tainted.
Tainted meat.
So everybody that ate it was more or less now infected. And I mean, they're all infected anyway, but.
They are. They just don't know it yet.
But it was one of those moments where I'm watching it. And as soon as I see that leg on the fire, I'm thinking to myself, wouldn't it be funny if he actually got bit down there in that, was it a cellar or the basement where all the water was? And sure enough, yeah. So
now that storyline, I was really bummed they didn't play out more.
What's that?
I really wanted to see, even though it seems to be that there is no real reaction from eating tainted meat, I would have liked to have seen that play out more where either there's infighting or one of them gets sick because of the, or if one of them actually does get infected because of it, just something more from that. I mean, it just seemed like such a gotcha moment. Let's play it out a little bit. I feel like we didn't get a lot out of that other than Gareth looking really irritated.
Yeah, there was a little paranoia there with some of the nameless people that was with him. But for the most part, we really didn't see anything from that play out too much. Well, the season has had much more of what I think we hope for in the first few seasons: explosions, shootouts, and maybe even a little mass murder. And I'm not even really even talking about the walkers. I mean, this is just interaction with the other live people. Did this kind of maybe enhance or maybe take away from your viewing experience?
Like the step up in ferociousness? I mean, is that what you mean? I mean, how aggressive everybody becomes in that group. And I loved it. Like Rick chewing, was that last season? That was last season where he chewed the guy's
throat.
Yeah,
that was four.
But I mean, in this one, when he cut the guy with the machete, right? I'm going to take that red machete. I'm going to kill you with that red machete. And he does it. I mean, just Rick has become a real fucking psycho, and I love him. I mean, he's basically Shane now. And the rest of the group are becoming, like Carol has just gotten scary as hell. And Daryl's about the only one that seems to have not gone down a dark path.
Which is crazy, because you would have thought he would have been the first one.
Yeah, and he's not. I mean, he's just...
Well, he kind of started out dark, and everybody else just kind of went, like, right past him. You know?
I love the violence. I mean, amping it all up.
That's kind of what I'm getting at is this, you know, we're seeing more, you know, of course, the first couple seasons, it's more about the human interaction with each other and the little bit, the drama. And yeah, you see some zombies here and there, that kind of stuff. But now, I mean, the way this season started, I mean, you've got Carol exploding propane tanks.
What was it, like a bottle rocket or something?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, and you've got Rick just chopping people, you know, with a machete, and just there's some very, even though it may not necessarily show with the graphic nature of it, but there is some very graphic stuff that it's almost like we've kind of taken, you know, turned it up a couple of notches that we haven't really seen in the past. And it's almost more action movie.
I don't agree with that. I don't think it's that much action. I think you're seeing a group that Shane predicted years ago that, you know, in order to survive, you're going to have to be the opposite of what you are currently. And they were very weak for a long time. And I think Rick especially has seen that he has to get his hands dirty, and he has to be the guy that is willing to take the awful step in order to save, or in his mind, protect everyone. And I think that's what he's doing. I think that's what the group is doing. They're evolving. They're becoming scary, a scary group, but I think it's because they have to. Now, how far will they go, I think, is what's going to be played out in seasons to come.
All right, well, speaking of massacres, the Hunters, which were led by the Apaka hipster, Gareth.
The Apaka hipster? Hashtag Apaka hipster.
There you go. They drop in on Rick and company. Only would be dropped in on themselves. Booyah! And we kind of find out that their intentions were good at first, but they pretty much evolved into something way worse. Scott, how would, if you were standing there in that church, how would you have handled their termination? See what I did there?
Honestly, I don't know how else to do it. I mean, this is where the argument comes in about are the group that we are most familiar with, are they good or are they starting to go down a bad path? You know what I mean?
And what do you think?
This to me is the turning point, and we're going to get into the conversation that we kind of alluded to earlier with the preacher having a conversation with Deanna, but this is the first time that you kind of sit up and think, are they the good guys anymore? Or mm-hmm. are they just as bad as these other groups that they're coming across? I don't know what else you could do, though, at this point. They had to get a drop on them some way.
Well, I think people were saying the argument is that they could have tied them up. They could have left them somewhere. I mean, they could have done something that was more, quote-unquote, humane, as opposed to the absolute viciousness that they did. And they were vicious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, bludgeoning somebody to death with the butt of a gun where their head is just soft lettuce at this point.
Right.
You know, is probably a little bit more cruel, generally speaking, than just, like you say, tying them up, leaving the doors open, and if some walkers come in and get them, so be it.
Yeah, but we're also seeing this from the perspective of them as being the good guys. If you had only come across this, if you were that group and came across...
I would run the frack away.
But if you came across them and saw them bludgeoning someone with the butt of their gun without having any backstory of who they were, mm-hmm. you absolutely think they're freaking crazy.
Absolutely.
We had the backstory with them, and for them it was more of a cathartic release to, like, it was a way for them to callous themselves, to toughen up and, mm-hmm. and become what they are now in the second half of the season. You know what I mean?
Jumping off of what you're saying, mm-hmm. Does that mean in your mind the Hunters, the cannibals, Gareth mm-hmm. and his crew, they could seem reasonable to you if we had enough backstory?
Reasonable to the point that it's okay to eat people?
Yep. Can you justify in your head that at some point it makes sense to you to survive?
That's a loaded question. That's a loaded question, man.
I mean, ask you this as your friend because
For a point of survival is like a last
resort. Because
I'm
making notes just in case.
Yep. Hey, Brian, you want to go camping this summer?
Not really.
that's a loaded question, man. I mean.
Well, see, I think we knew enough of the cannibal situation to where we realized that they had, I guess, intentions, or they didn't necessarily, you know, they didn't plan on it, but they pretty much assumed, like, all right, well, we just accepted this is what we are, and you know what, to survive we just got to keep luring people in. Mm-hmm. So
right, that's the
difference. there is no higher level of thinking that, well, you know, okay, well, this justifies my actions to eat people and then track people down and then kill them and that kind of stuff.
See, here's a difference for me. Would I cook you and eat you to sustain myself? No. But if it were to save the life of my wife, or if I had kids or something like that.
So I need to kill your wife and kids first.
Probably, yes.
All right. And then we're even. We're even, Steven. I got a chance.
We got to give up a leg or a wing or something. I mean,
a wing? I can't have a wing. I wondered about that. Wow. But I had debated that with some friends, their actions, like how they brutally murdered them. Would you let them live or would you brutally murder them? And I firmly believe, based on their history of both retaliation, and these people seem to be hunting them, you know, they want them dead or they want to eat them, right, whatever. I would kill them myself too, to say, because of Otherwise, you're looking over your back the rest of your time.
Well, which is more horrific for them as an experience to die? To get, I mean, you get smacked in the face with the butt of a gun once or twice, you're done. You're at least unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But to get eaten by a walker is going to be a little bit longer of a, and painful of a death.
I don't want to be eaten by them or the walkers.
Well, either way, but if lesser of two evils at this point.
I'd rather take my chances with the walkers, what you're saying? Kill them, take a chance with the walkers?
No, number one, if you're tied up and left and waiting for the walkers to show up, number one, you have to wait.
You're fucked up.
That's
dude.
A long...
You, like, let them get eaten by walkers?
No, you're saying that's like the alternative.
No, I would kill them. I would kill them.
That's what I'm saying. I would, too.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you're saying it's a lesser of two evils, put them out quickly. No matter how brutal you do it, it's a lot quicker than letting them sit there in a church tied up, waiting for walkers to come, and then getting eaten by them. That's a much longer, slow, painful death.
As long as they're dead, that's really all I care about. Because
well, evil. I'm really scared of you both at this point. So
sorry, we should probably move on.
All right. Well, so far at this point, you know, Carol's gone missing. Daryl's gone after her, only to return to the group, splitting up into a couple of different factions. Abraham's group's going to Washington, while Rick's group is going to look for Carol. Knowing just what you know up to that point, Aaron, which group would you have gone with?
I would have left Abraham in a heartbeat. Carol just saved all of our asses. I would. Everybody should have went and looked for Carol. Fuck Abraham and his giant mustache.
His red mustache.
Yeah, his giant mustache. That handlebar mustache that you could actually ride. Wait, sorry.
Who wants a mustache ride?
Yeah, I mean, how do you argue that? The woman just single-handedly came in and took out an entire community to save your ass.
That two groups that now this is a group. This is a group of people that has captured not one, but two groups of your own people.
Mm-hmm. And one person saved you.
And one person saved you. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's who I want on my team. So I'm going to take everybody I've got left and get her back.
I'm not going to trust the dude with the mullet, right?
No, I don't trust the mullet. Just because a guy said, well, I would be asking a few more detailed questions to Eugene, too, as opposed to just taking his word for that.
How many smart dudes do you know with the mullet?
I don't want to offend all the mullet community. I'm sure there's a couple. As they drink their Pabst Blue Ribbon. Because they all.
PB Army, ASAP.
Scotty, which one would you have gone with?
Same.
Would you have,
obviously
same?
Carol. I mean, even if Eugene were telling the truth, which, again, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there, that's a really long way. And you don't even know what's in Washington. You don't know who's still alive there. I mean,
you're separating again.
Yeah, that's just a long shot. Stick with the group. Stick with with what you know. It seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm in the, I guess, the same group as Vin Diesel with, you know, family. And at
you're
this point,
kick
Carol's
that dog every chance you can. I like.
Yeah, and Carol's family. At, you know, at this point, so you've got it. Like you said, that's a fantastic point. She just saved all of our asses. If nothing else, you owe her mm-hmm. one shot. So everybody load up, go get her.
Mm-hmm.
And, then we'll sort out whatever we need to at that point.
Exactly. So, I don't care about Abraham's little temper. He'll get over it.
Yep.
He'll count to 10.
Yeah. He may like kneel down in the middle of a highway for a couple hours or days.
Exactly. But, you know, yeah.
He'll get over it eventually.
Mother Dick.
Mother Dick. I forgot Mother about Dick. That. Mother Dick.
I seriously, when I saw that, I looked over at my wife and said, did he just say Mother Dick?
He sure did. He said Mother Dick.
I actually rewound it, just going, what?
I thought for a second I was going to pull up a game reference. Never mind.
Apocalypse Hipster and Mother Dick. I love it.
Well, we're going to move on to the hospital. We finally get to see what happened to Beth. That's we haven't too, seen her since the last bad. Few episodes of season 4.
Yeah.
She's laid up in an Atlanta hospital and apparently, quote unquote, owes Don and her police goons for, quote, rescuing her. You know, don't do me any favors. How cool was it to kind of see the big city again and get out of the woods for, you know, a couple episodes there, Scott?
Honestly, it was kind of refreshing. Because we've been in the woods for so long, and seeing these people in like an organized environment briefly, albeit, made the characters feel kind of real again and more human. You know what I mean? Like, this is what it used to be like, and this is what it was like to be back in an organized environment instead of the nomads that they basically have been for the past couple of seasons. And it almost gave the characters like a clean slate feel. Like, you know, they got to shower and they got to...
Yeah, Beth's cute. She looks good clean, by the way.
Yeah. They almost like a chance to start over. Remember who they are, or at least were. Do you feel the same?
In the Atlanta hospital? That's where we're at. I think you're on Alexandria.
More so there, but this was still, I mean, at least they showered and they...
Oh, the characters that made it to the hospital. Yeah. These are clean characters.
And, right. It wasn't like, it wasn't like running into a bunch of people that, you know, were still covered in filth and crazy eyes and all this kind of stuff.
I didn't like the hospital stuff.
No?
No, I know a lot of people did. I thought Noah was really annoying, and I didn't like the whole Dawn. I mean, Brian's going to explain what, you know, how that went. But the whole Dawn storyline, I just thought was... The last episode was good. You know, what happens to
the mid-season finale?
Yeah, the mid-season finale was really good. It's just that whole storyline was really... Once again, I don't think we got enough with it, or it wasn't developed enough. It just felt like, okay, can we move on from this? I'm kind of done with it. This is the one storyline of the season I wasn't a big fan of. Everything else I loved, but yeah.
I liked it. I thought it should have been maybe done a little bit different. These, I don't know, ideologic people with blinders on just was almost like the governor in a sense, where it was just, you really, these people would be in this environment, but I went with it and I don't know. I was kind of on the fence with it. I thought it could have been done better, but I didn't dislike it.
Put it this way. When it was done and we had it all finalized and we were going, and I'm like, wow, that was a really cool mid-season finale. I look back on it and I just wish we would have spent the whole time in Terminus as opposed to this. But that's my opinion.
But I don't think the mid-season finale would have been as effective if we didn't spend that much time in the hospital.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
It would have been a different mid-season finale because he wouldn't be there.
Well, I mean, you could have had like the last two episodes or whatever in there, but I don't think it would have been as impactful because... That time in the hospital was really all about Beth. I mean, that was the only character we saw for at least the one episode. It was just her. Yeah. Everybody else was a brand new character. And without...
I just felt like they built it up because they had to kill her off.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were trying to get us all emotional about it. And Beth just wasn't a character that I think... I mean, because they fluffed all that time up, it helped to get attached to her character. But I really think that time could have been better spent, like with Terminus, and, you know, we could have been eating Bob the whole time and
sure.
Stuff like that. We could have been eating Beth. That came out wrong.
Speaking of, I mean, kind of speaking of her, I guess along those lines, we did see her kind of grow from this meek babysitter who was really in the background the whole time. She's been yes. with the group for a long time. She's barely had any lines until the last season, or, you know, like maybe season 3
yes.
and a half to 4. She had a few more.
Maggie got all the screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, she was like, you almost forgot she was actually part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but she has grown to this, because she was kind of a tough as nails chick who's probably a little too eager to stab somebody.
A little? It was a really dumb plan, especially since Noah died like 3 episodes later. I felt so bad for her.
Do you think this is kind of maybe another one of those examples where we, as the viewing audience, get attached to someone in a relatively short amount of time, kind of like the Red Viper in Game of Thrones, Aaron?
You mean Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah, Beth. Because I'll be honest with you, before the hospital stuff, I couldn't tell you much about Beth's character at all. I remember her taking care of Judith, maybe. I don't know. But I really had very few memories of her as a character. She was not somebody that really stuck with me. The hospital helped expand that.
She got fleshed out in that episode with Daryl. Weren't she and Daryl?
Yeah, that one. That's really the only other episode where she.
Yeah,
got
but again, it's just like the second half of season 4 through, you know, her death.
Right? Didn't really. You say she was like actually in something like 50 episodes?
She was in 50 episodes. But she was just hanging out in the background, apparently walking.
She's
around.
Always carrying somebody else's baby.
She yeah. was, man. She's like
that's babysitter. All she did.
That's funny. But it worked. It ended up working. But go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. We do start to see the dark change in Rick Grimes. You know, I don't know if anybody's evolved as much as Rick. It's funny because he's every half season he's got a different mindset, apparently. Does the show need to keep him evolving as rapidly as they do, or can they maybe slow him down a little bit and maybe catch some of the others up with his changes?
Well, I'm not sure how rapid of a change it's actually been, because I think it's a little bit of a slower burn than we're giving it credit, because a lot of it's happened in the last two seasons visibly. I mean, you got to remember, he's the first character we saw in the entire series, right? Mm-hmm. Opening of season one, he was the very first person we saw. He's had a long road, which included the near death of his son, the death of his wife, the death of his best friend who was banging his wife.
Well, to be fair, he killed his best friend. So it's not like
he killed his best friend.
It's not like, oh, I got to deal with it. I did it.
So. That's part of it, though, too. Creeps like the governor who kept heads on his mantle, not to mention his infected daughter in a cage. He's seen some weird shit, and he's seen probably more shit than anybody, well, almost as much as anybody else. But at the same time, too, in the later episodes, he's fully admitted. He actually said, hey, I screwed up. Mm-hmm. You know, he totally lost it and admitted to it. So I think that was a moment of still humanity, that he's getting screwed up, but I don't think he's maxed out. You know what I mean? He reached.
Hear you, but you know we've seen him go. You know, from confused guy, what's going on when he gets, like, say he gets out of the hospital in season one.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to reconnect with his wife and kid, who they thought was dead, and his best friend, who he eventually finds out is, you know, of course, like you say, banging his wife. And you know, and you're right. A zombie apocalypse is enough to deal with, but then you've got to deal with that. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that'll mess with your head.
He had to relearn how to say his son's name. I mean,
right. You know, and yeah, you've got the governor and people attacking, you know, this place you've adopted as your home. But, you know, we've seen him, I mean, go from that to just being a pacifist where he's just like a farmer, to this mental head case where his own kid hates him and practically wishes him to die. And then he's kind of back to tough Rick and the leader guy again. And now he's gone to like batshit crazy Rick.
I agree with that. I don't think he's batshit crazy Rick. People keep saying
he
that.
He was batshit stalker crazy for two or three episodes this season.
When he bit the dude's ear off?
When he's, you know, he's staring weirdly at Jesse and, you know, waving at him, he's holding the gun in his back pocket, like, I'm just looking for a reason. And finally, Carol gives him a reason, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, we should. I can't wait till we talk about how Carol is manipulating everything in this fucking show right at this point. Like, she totally set Pete up to die, and I love it, but we'll get there. The character of Rick, like what you're talking about, I don't agree with that. I think you took this whole season has been about how he's back to his, he is at a primal state. He will do anything to protect his family. He learned that at the end of last season up through the Terminus issue. You know, he basically made a mistake and almost cost his family their lives again. So he is not taking any chances with anybody anymore. And I get that, except for the people that are close to him. So when he got to Alexandria, you take wild animals. I mean, I think it was Glenn that said we were almost out there too long, or Michonne. One of them said that.
It was Glenn. Thank you.
It was Glenn. And you take a wild animal and you try to put him in a cage because he's been out there for a long time and he's seen a lot of stuff. Like Scott said, he's not so much crazy as he's not going to make the same mistakes. He's not going to get soft. He's not mm-hmm. going to take chances. Everything is going to protect his family, and he doesn't care how crazy it seems. He's going to do it because he knows what happens when he doesn't. It's happened to him too many times by this point. I think if you don't have a character that does that, the viewers start to just doubt that the writing is solid, that they can really follow Rick because he's, you know, he's just weak if he keeps making the same mistakes.
Well, to play devil's advocate here, you know, he's got a handful of people that have been right by his side the whole time that have seen the exact same things, and they've been on a more, let's just say, a less erratic, you know, roller coaster. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's just kind of been it might have gone up and down a little bit, but where Rick is going from one extreme to the other, they're just kind of going up and down a little bit.
I think he's seen the worst of it, though.
Yeah, I think he has, too. He's been through a lot more personal stuff.
He's got PTSD at this point.
Carl killed his own mother.
He seems to have walked it off. He seems pretty well adjusted. He's like,
just saying.
Yeah, it should happen. I'm good.
Yeah, he's trying to get his dick wet. That's what he's got on his mind right now.
Nice guy.
He is.
He's like, I killed a mom. What's up, girl? Hey, girl.
How you doing?
That's like his come on line now. I'm so sad. I killed my mother.
I could use a hug.
I feel a lot better if I got a handy. Dumps?
Yeah, I hear you. I killed my mom. What you got? Nothing? Nothing? Boom. Take off your pants.
I don't care. There's a walker 15 feet away. Do it.
Right. Do it.
Hey, if we were like 14 or 15, we'd still try with a walker there too. Don't kid yourself. We got 5 minutes. I'll be fine.
Not arguing. Not arguing with you on that.
14, 15. Shit now.
Yeah. This guy's like, I can't wait for an apocalypse.
Would you have sex with me as the last person on Earth?
So you're saying there's a chance.
All right. Well, we're going to kind of hit the road now. We got a little bit of a roll call here. We got Abraham, Rosita, Eugene, Glenn, and Maggie, and Tara. They're on the road to D.C.
No. Well, you got before you get there, and I know you're – I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Before you get to the road, the whole Beth dying thing, I mean, that happened during this whole hospital issue, right?
Right.
Do you think that – did you feel cheated at all that we didn't get a Maggie-Beth reunion that
– I think that's part of the – what tears at the heartstrings and what makes this mm-hmm. show just as good as it is. It's a lot. In some ways, it's a lot like Game of Thrones in a sense where things don't always work out the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. You want somebody to get revenge. You want somebody to get their, you know, get justice or to have that special moment. And it doesn't work out that way.
And look how powerful that moment was when Maggie sees – who was carrying her out? Was it Rick carrying her out?
No, it was Daryl.
Daryl was carrying her out. And just a look on her face when she's, you know, for all she knows, she could have been unconscious, but she knew mm-hmm. that she was dead just by looking at it. And the look on her face was...
Well, when Daryl's crying.
I know. I mean, it probably took him a while to work up those manly tears. That I will say, as much as I was saying Beth wasn't a very effective character throughout most of the show, that really hit me. That mm-hmm. did hit me. Her death, even though I thought, why are you doing this? That seems stupid, but I kind of got why she did it.
Yep.
I'm sorry, continue with the road. I just wanted to bring that question up.
Okay, cool. Well, all right, well, Abraham's gang, they wreck, they find another ride, continue on, but they get a little bit disheartened when they see hundreds or even thousands of walkers blocking the way. Scott, things are a bit stressful, pretty much only made worse by Eugene coming clean that he's pretty much a lying dick. And how would you have handled that situation?
I'm really not sure how else I would have handled it. I mean, what else could you do? It's not like I'm going to kill the guy. That would make that just would be completely counterproductive. It's not going to help anything.
I disagree.
How would that have helped? How would have killing Eugene?
It would have
helped?
Made me feel better. I would have grabbed him by the fucking mullet and I would have slammed him against that fire engine about 16 times.
No.
And said, I just spent my whole week trying to get you to Washington.
Yeah, but also that's you. I mean, me, I'm going to be pissed off for a while, but.
You're going to hug it out?
We don't hold grudges as long as some other people do.
Scott, you're missing the best part about the apocalypse, all right? There's no sirens. There's no... Rick's the only one with a badge, and if he ain't around, he ain't enforcing the
law.
Yeah,
but these people are all I have left.
Yeah, but he's got a mullet, Scott. He's obviously not worth my time.
All right, but think about it, Scott. Things are crazy. People are dying. Your family's just dead. You've just killed some people. I think he even... Did he finish his own family, didn't he, to put them out of their misery type of thing?
Yes, I believe
Abraham.
So. Yeah,
right, so you're distraught. This guy comes up and says, hey, man.
They left him. No, they left him, but then I think, I can't remember, honestly.
I don't remember if he actually killed him, but he knows they're dead. He knows they ain't coming back. There's no mm-hmm. saving them. And he just kills some people that attacked his family. So the guy's distraught. And a guy comes along and says, all right, hey, I know how to fix this. I need your help. And you're on this mission for probably months under the assumption that, you know what, I've got to get this guy from one place to another. So you're going from Illinois, let's just say, to, I don't know, Colorado. You're in Colorado at this point. And then all of a sudden, the guy that you're helping, the guy that you've done so many things for to make sure this guy makes it, says, yeah, I'm full of shit.
Well, first off, why am I trusting this guy? Why am I like this guy with the mullet says, yeah, I'm smart as hell. I'm going to...
Because he said a bunch of big words that you didn't understand. So you're like, all right, he must be telling the truth.
But why are you putting all of your hope on this one single guy that you just met?
It doesn't, you know, desperate. I mean, forget the specifics of him having a mullet and being, you know, he's got the capability of using 25-cent words.
Brian is like, I am offended that the accent is bothering you, Scott.
Put yourself in the spot, that no matter what the guy looks like, or woman for this matter, no matter what they look like, they have convinced you in some shape, form, or fashion to travel a third of the way across the country, knowing that you really don't have a whole lot further to go, if that's even correct English. And then pull the rug out from you underneath your feet and say, you know what? I just made all that stuff up and you just needed to hear it. So I did it for you.
I can't see myself killing him in that situation.
Oh, good. You can have some nice words with him and tell him how upset you are with how he handled things.
Here's my question,
I will be
though.
grabbing his mullet and slamming him against the fire engine.
What was Eugene's endgame in that whole thing? What was he going to do in Washington? What was his purpose for getting to Washington?
His
the most logical assumption would be right. From him is that
family's there or something.
No. The most logical assumption is that's where the government is, the most likely location for there to be some kind of effort to save them all will be there. It'll be concentrated there.
Wouldn't that have been an easier sell? Hey, Washington's probably a really good place to go if anybody's stable,
I think they did a good job writing the character because I think he comes across as a coward and it works. And why I think they bought it. He thinks quick on his feet. He's good with his mouth. So he came up with a story that he thought this guy would buy, and it worked.
Right.
Well, all right, Aaron. I mean, you know, is he just doing what is this? He really has no, I guess, survival skills in the traditional sense. Is he just pretty much doing what he's good at to survive? That's lying and just really being convincing.
Yeah, I think he's a selfish prick, really. I mean, he's not you know, I know they try to give him this hero moment at the end of the season where he saves Tara, but he's a character that only thinks of himself. I mean, granted, he had that one moment near the end of the season where he saved her, but overall, he's a really selfish character, and everything he's done to this point has put other people's lives in jeopardy to save his own. For me, that's not a character I can get behind. Yes, I think he's doing everything he can to survive at the expense of everybody around him. The only reason he's not doing it right now is because he was found out.
All right, so... dang it. I had something, and I don't.
Well,
sorry.
I think having...
Antibiotics clear that up.
I think having a character like that in there still makes it interesting. You know, we talked earlier about the preacher just being uninteresting. I think having Eugene there makes the story... makes you think a little bit more.
That's where I was headed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you think he's the I mean, we have so many quote unquote heroes and these strong, you know, hero types that is he the balance, you know?
Absolutely. I said he's well written character. I mean, he's
we're agreeing with you.
I would still kill him. I'd still kill him. I honestly don't care. I don't care. That's the writing. That's what makes the show interesting. But in a real life situation, because I can't go to jail, he did. I'd probably tie his ass up and just leave him there and start like banging on the.
You just really want to do that.
I would. I would totally. Yep.
Just put like a really loud stereo, like right out of his reach.
Man,
and tie
I would
him up.
Like crank up Van Halen or something and just watch from afar. I would be Gareth. I would be fucking with people left and right. Yes, sir. You wouldn't want to hang out.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Well, all right. Well,
I said I'd use Judith as a freaking pipe bomb last season. So yeah, I'm that guy.
Yeah. Hey, at least you're consistent. All right. Well, they do. Abraham's group does go back and team up with Rick's group. They find out Beth is dead, basically turn back around and head towards DC, but they're going to help. Basically kind of head towards Noah's home to kind of help him since that's what Beth wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they only lose Tyrese thanks to Noah.
Mm-hmm.
The boy's been with the group for just what I guess it's a few days, and he's already been the cause of directly or indirectly, basically at least a couple of deaths. What, you know, as you were pretty vocal, Aaron, about your, I guess, disdain for that episode that Tyrese died. Mm-hmm. What did you kind of think about the hallucinations and all that? Basically a full episode that was dedicated to the changing experience of somebody that's turning.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I liked that portion of it. Everything about it just felt like he's doing dumb shit. He's a smart guy. He's lived here a long time. He's taken out entire hordes of walkers, and he gets killed running through some girl's bedroom. Okay, I mean, that's the cool part of the show. You get surprised and whatnot. But I didn't like the episode because it felt like how do we bring a bunch of characters back? How do we bring a bunch of guest stars back?
See, I didn't feel that way.
I felt like it was a gimmick more than I did a really interesting show.
See, I think he's losing it worse than Rick is. Like, we keep complaining about how Rick has lost it and Rick is going full batshit crazy, but he's not quite there. At least that's how I feel about it.
I think Rick's been there and he's come back. That's my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, Rick's made a couple laps around that track.
But I think this is the episode where we have a character that is getting there but isn't handling it as well. And that I kind of appreciated. Like, hey, not everybody's going to handle it as well, and you get to kind of see what it feels like to be in those shoes of somebody like that that's losing their mind and not dealing with it well.
I guess I probably would have bought that more. I mean, I get what you're saying. I think, you know, using one of the strongest characters in the show to mm-hmm. emphasize that is probably a good play. It just felt like he was doing dumb horror movie stuff to get to that point. Everything he did in that episode felt fake to me. It didn't feel like his character that had been written for a couple seasons now. And the fact that, you know, we're making all these stupid choices for this kid that they barely even know, just because Beth wanted to save him doesn't make it sensible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like it was a lot of forced. It was too forced. It didn't feel genuine to me. That episode is the one episode of the season I really just didn't like at all. Brian, do you get what I'm saying at all? Or you just think I'm stupid?
I kind of do. I felt the not flashbacks, but the hallucinations of the past characters was forced. Almost like that square peg that's just doesn't quite fit into the hole. And I don't know. I wasn't very pleased with it. Almost a medical aspect, I like this, maybe almost an insight into the process
mm-hmm.
where, okay, maybe fever setting in there, you start hallucinating, whatever, you know, I'm kind of creating my own medical pathos as far as what happens.
Dr. Brian, I like it.
You know, and so in my weird brain, that's kind of what I see happening. It was just, it felt like, all right, this is these people we've lost over the last season or season and a half. And it felt forced, and I just didn't. I wasn't crazy about it, and I agree. I just don't like the idea that your toughest guy gets taken out by a walker that pops out of a closet in some girl's bedroom, and
that you would know he would have checked 45 times and whatever.
Yeah, that he would have elbowed, and it would have just exploded at any other given time.
It's true.
So. I don't know. I agree. It was emotional in the sense that I didn't want to lose Tyrese because I did like him. I wanted more from him. I much rather would have had Sasha bite the bullet.
I still want Sasha to go.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
She's the one character so, I just don't care for her at all. She's like, her and Father Gabriel can just go dive off a cliff.
Well, she fine. Falls into the more of the bucket of not interesting.
Her and Father Gabriel are the two characters are just written really poorly. Mm-hmm. It's like Eugene is, I want to punch him in the face, but he's really interesting.
Right.
Sasha, it just feels like she inherited Tyrese's, you know, pathos, and it doesn't work. She's just, I really don't think she's as good at conveying it. I don't want to slight the actress, but I really feel that way. And I'm
it's
sorry.
Almost like they've, whatever hardcore angst that Michonne has gotten rid of, they're just trying to force it onto Sasha, and it's not working for her character as much as it did for Michonne.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, this time where Tyrese died, we had a pretty good, I mean, I don't know about good, but there was a kind of a fairly surprising run of deaths where it was almost like one episode after every episode, somebody's dying, it seemed like. Is it getting harder to surprise us at this point in regards to when we expect someone to die? Well, you know, we've kind of become accustomed to, well, it's the end of the season, somebody's getting killed off. And, you know, is it getting harder?
I think so, because and I know you referenced Game of Thrones earlier in the episode,
like
a couple
18
times
at this point.
Well, but I mean, I think there's a good parallel here, because part of the thing that we expect when watching a show like Game of Thrones is who's going to die, and someone has to die. And for me, it's almost becoming more of a surprise when someone doesn't die. And I think that's kind of what happened at the end of this season, which we'll get into later. But I don't want the show to get to that where we're like, all we're concerned about is who's going to live and who's going to die. I think there's a lot more interesting things you can do with a story and with mm-hmm. writing than who lives and who doesn't. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I really don't think it's – I think people think the main characters die more than they do. Usually it's side characters that are dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really shocked that the finale happened as good as it was, and people were still kind of – they were bitching that nobody did die.
Right.
Well, I mean, I can't believe this. I mean, nobody died.
Well, didn't they
what?
Talk it up
Why
like somebody was going to die?
I don't. But see, that's our fault as an audience, because that's just marketing. Every single season, go back and check. Every single season, Daryl or Norman Reedus will do this interview. Man, the finale is heartbreaking. You're not going to believe the shit that happened, because that's promotion. They have to do that. And I really try to not watch that stuff, because you'll start thinking things are going to happen. But that's our fault. That's not the show's fault. They're supposed to make you want to see it, and that makes you want to see it.
Kind of like it's not Eugene's fault, it's the people that believed him.
No, it's Eugene's fault, because he's a prick, and he needs to be tied up to a fire engine.
I'm just making a point.
I don't really think that's a good point, because one is about watching a TV show, and one's because Eugene is a dick.
One is a TV show.
One Eugene is a mother dick.
This season finale, and again, I mean, we don't have to worry about spoiling anything with this. This was a kind of a positive surprise, because somebody did die, but it was probably the last person that you expected.
I didn't even remember that character.
Huh?
I barely even remember that character until the finale. Like
Deanna's husband?
Yeah, he didn't have as much dialogue as anybody else.
Well, Deanna's husband and Pete, they said it was going to be a surprising death. That surprised me. I didn't see both of them going out.
Right.
So they're, boom. So it's not like they lied. They just made you think
they misled.
Something else. Well, yeah, they misled. They made you think like three different characters were going to die at the same time. Mm-hmm. I say that's a credit to the show, because I was on the edge of my seat the whole goddamn episode.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. So, all right, well, we'll move on down the road a little bit. You do have you pretty much know at this point you've got just a few days left to live in your current state. You're starved, you're dehydrated, there's no food or water anywhere. You know, there's just no way that you're basically making it under the way that you're headed. And then bam, all of a sudden, out of magic, there's this supply cache that's left in front of you, laying in the middle of the road. You got some water, maybe some, you know, I don't know, energy bars, whatever the case is. There's this, you know, there's this stuff there that you're just fiending for. And there's a note saying it's from a friend. Do you drink it, eat it, use it, whatever? Do you take this gift, Scott?
I think it depends in how far along the process we are. If you're at the beginning of the season or the beginning of the season one, you take it. Because, I mean, you haven't experienced all this crap. If it's if you're now end of season four, beginning of season five, you're being a little more precautious.
Precautious? What's that?
Precautious? Is that kind of like precocious?
You're being precautious?
It's just cautious?
You said it, not us.
You said precautious.
There's nothing. What's wrong with precautious?
Is that a word?
It's not a word.
You're taking precautions.
Precaution is a word. I don't think precautious is.
Precautious isn't a word?
No. Are you a teacher?
Cautious is a word. Precautions is a word. There is no merging of the two.
Well, it is now. Damn it.
Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, where we make words.
Exactly. You guys do it all the time. Anyway, you probably hang on to it and see what happens. I mean, if the food goes bad, I mean, it's something like knowing what I know now from watching the show, I'm going to hang on to it and not do anything with it right away. I'm going to kind of use it as a last reserve or something, not just straight up use it.
The one thing I liked most about that whole aspect is you finally have them really struggling with thirst and dehydration and that whole struggle for survival, as opposed to just the typical, hey, we found a bunch of green beans, so we'll be fine. You know, we'll make it last, and it's just the Walker thing. I really like that aspect of adding it in there. Mm-hmm. And then we stumbled
into the one or two houses that nobody's picked over yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, what are the chances?
But, you know, if it were my group, I would probably take it because they're all dying. But I would let Eugene drink it first.
Of course you would.
Yeah, I'd be like, here, drink this. And then as soon as he downed it, I'd be like, hey, everybody, just wait.
Nah.
Give it a minute.
Not me. I would have drank that shit up in a heartbeat.
Dictionary.com. Precautious. Using or displaying precaution.
Wow.
Mm.
I guess he just taught us, didn't he? I guess we'll have to edit this out.
Mm. Shut up. I tell you what, you're still wrong. I win. How's that?
I'd like to call you a name right now, but I'm not going to.
Nice job, Scott. I'm glad that you're smarter than us. Does that make you feel good, Justin?
Oh, I wasn't going to say the name, but...
Just kidding. Because you know he's listening. All right, well, move on. Let's go. We drink it.
All right. Hey. All right. So, yeah, we drink up. Anyway, we're going to move it on to, they eventually get to Alexandria, the walled-in town that is led by Deanna.
Why do you keep saying it like that?
Yeah, why do you keep?
I don't get it.
Did I miss something?
You don't get it? When they get to Alexandria, they say, hey, well, you know, we're going to introduce you to Deanna. Well, you know, you got to talk to Deanna first.
Vin Diesel then, rolled in?
And Abraham goes, who's Deanna? And it just stuck with me.
You
Sorry.
Do not sound like Abraham at all.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all.
I think if Brian had a handlebar mustache, this would work better.
If For I had radio?
A giant red flat top.
Yep.
That's what
he
I need.
He keeps that really flat, by the way, for as long as he's been.
He really does. Who's cutting his hair? That really hot Latina? All right.
Yeah, Rick looks like Sam Elliott from Roadhouse. And, you know, in this time, and Abraham still got that nicely coiffed
when he shaved his beard, I'm like, I almost forgot he was handsome. Like, who's this guy?
I thought I was watching Love Actually for a second.
I know, he's still a very attractive young guy. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, this got awkward. Sorry.
Well, anyway, getting back to Deanna, she's trusting, but she's wary. The town appears to be kept up very well and is almost as if it's avoided this whole catastrophe completely. Which would explain why the residents have a kind of a relative naivete towards Walker's threats and stuff outside their walls. Has this group become, and we're talking about Rick's group here, that we've grown to know and love and even hate some of them. Have they become so accustomed to surviving that they just can't adjust to the one thing that they've been striving for this whole time? You know, safety, security, just the normalcy.
It really seems that way, but at the same time, a lot of them really want to accept it. They really want to get to that point where this is what life needs to be like. We want to get there, you know, but at the same time, you can also tell that they're afraid to get accustomed to
normalcy.
Yeah. I mean, even Michonne at one point said, if I remember correctly, she said something to the effect of, we need this.
Mm-hmm.
We as a group need what's going on here.
Wanted to back in Noah's neighborhood. She wanted to like set roots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a couple of scenes where, you know, you look at Daryl, whether it's, I think he's like on the porch. He's also in one of the rooms. He's pacing back and forth like a caged lion. That's like, hey, where, you know,
This ain't right,
man. This don't feel good. What's, you know, I can't sit still. What's, you know, I need to be hunting or fighting something off. I can't relax. God forbid.
Well, I think that's the character, though. I mean, Daryl's just that guy. He doesn't want to be in walls. You know, he wants to be out there, and that's just some. I think that's more of a character thing than
on a motorcycle. Well,
right, but I mean, but so many of them though are kind of like that at, to a certain extent. Maybe not to his extreme, but and well, I think we've seen that with some of them. Some of them are just willing to just drop everything and say yes, mm-hmm. you know, and others are having a tougher time of dealing with it. And
well, the difference there is I think that Daryl was that way before all of this mm-hmm. happened.
That's just who Daryl is.
Mm-hmm. He was very much a lone wolf outside of his brother before this whole apocalypse happened. Everybody else was, you know, had close friends and somewhat, I don't know how to, I'm not saying, I don't want to say
he wasn't alone. He was a loner. Yeah. Really. He was a loner. So.
Yeah. And this is kind of given him something to where he's comfortable and kind of, pardon the pun, spread his wings a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But because now things, there's this semblance of a normal life, it's back to uncomfortable for him, you know?
Can we give Rick's group a name, like the Grimators or...
The Grimators.
The Ricktastrophes?
Well, that's kind of my point with this whole thing. And I think you and I had a discussion on the Facebook group at some point about, you know, who's the good guy and who's the bad guy? And the whole conversation that the preacher had with Deanna when Maggie overheard it, mm-hmm. where he's like talking crap about them and like they can't be trusted and all this kind of mm-hmm. thing. This is the moment where I'm like, where I start to think that they're not the good guys. Like the people
I agree,
from LA,
they're not the good guys here.
Like in this case, Alexandra, they're the ones that are, they've got something good going on here and things are going fine until Rick's group showed up.
And then everybody starts dying.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden crap starts happening.
Well, think about it. I mean, everywhere that they've settled, it's burned.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they didn't even settle in Woodbury and it burned. You know, the prison burned.
They just thought about
Herschel,
it.
Herschel's house burned. You know, everywhere they've been, they are a cancer.
They're the mm-hmm. common denominator.
Yeah.
At this point.
They are the Walking Dead.
Oh, see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. When that's sly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, kind of, I guess, going back to kind of how these characters have evolved and stuff, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, should we even be pulling for Rick at this point? I mean, he's, you know, he's, granted, the last 2 minutes of the season finale, he's kind of redeemed that he's not.
But was he really?
Maybe, or was he even really? But for most of this season, we've seen him take a dark, dark turn to where we pull for him because he is the lead character, and we've been pulling for him for 5 years now. Well, but should we be at this point?
Well, I think the last scene in the finale is kind of a loaded question because he redeemed himself with Deanna's group, but at the same time, he lost face a little bit with his first group, which was even before the group that we're with now. He lost some face with Morgan a little bit mm-hmm. in that finale. So, but me personally, when it comes to Rick, it's hard for me to not root for him. Like I mentioned earlier, he's the first character we saw in the entire season, the entire series, excuse me. He's been through some shit, but at the same time, you also want to be like, dude, just slow your roll a little bit. You know, I mean, let some stuff go.
He's right, though. I mean, you know, I agree how he handled Porch Dick probably wasn't the best thing to do because, I mean, he basically antagonized him and he had that huge street fight. He thought he was in a Wild West movie or something. I mean, and they're going through plate glass windows and all that. But what he was trying to do was the right thing. He was just apparently he hadn't been around a woman in a while and his pheromones. I mean, he was like a cheetah.
Well, isn't that funny that I saw a meme on the internet?
And they like got all closer.
I got the vapors.
And he kisses her on the cheek. He's like, that was the creepiest thing I've seen in a long time.
It was creepy.
But she was like, hey, what's up? That's wrong. I mean, sorry.
Which is creepy enough. But then when you see her walking away and his hand is still on her ass as she's, you know, rounding the corner, that's when it got like, that's a little weird.
His pants
are already on the floor.
I saw a meme on the internet the Monday after the finale that had a picture of him on the street with his hands his hands strewn out and the blood on his face, and it says something to the effect of, what's the problem? All I want to do is, why are you guys so upset? All I want to do is bang this chick and kill her husband. And that's exactly what Shane would.
Yep.
You know.
Well, that's a good point. You bring up his evolution. Do you think he's become Shane finally? Is he at that point?
I think he left Shane. Shane's still like at 12 exits. He's like behind him. Yeah, he's way past Shane at this point.
I think Shane's a little bit more level-headed.
Now, do you think if today's Rick went back to season two he killed Shane. Went back to season two, would he still kill Shane?
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, knowing what he knows now, would he?
Yeah, because Shane tried to kill him.
But do you think Shane still would if he's like, they both, basically he saw who Rick becomes and realized, wow, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell him.
Oh, so if he knew that not killing Shane would not make him who he is today?
Yeah, do you think Rick realizes that he's basically eclipsed Shane? You know, the things that he hated about
him. I think someone needs to tell him that. I think someone needs to, like, seriously bring that to him and be like, look,
everybody that would tell him is dead. I mean, you know, I think Andrea is about the only one that would really step up and say that.
Hmm.
And Lori.
Hmm.
And they're both, you know.
Someone needs to tell him in a hallucination flashback.
Oh, I'm sure they're writing it right now. If he gets bit on his pinky and then he can hallucinate and see all these guest stars pop back up. Oh, look, Loria and Andrea have shot. Oh, look, there's Shane, too. Oh,
there's T-Dog.
You know
T-Dog.
That's got to come.
That's,
no, they'll never bring T-Dog back. Nobody missed him.
You know that's got to come at some point, right? Rick's got to see Shane again.
No, I think if they were going to do
I
that.
Hope not.
No, they would have done that in a Tyrese episode. If they were going to bring Shane back, that would have been the episode.
But Tyrese never met Shane.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think, unless they have some kind of flashback, I don't think Shane will ever come back.
Hmm.
Yeah, that would probably be the jump the shark moment.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You got to just let that go. Plus, at this point, you know, you've got a lot of newer viewers because the show keeps, you know, going up in the ratings. A lot of people don't even know who Shane is.
Well, in this finale, there were three circumstances displaying various degrees of mercy. Glenn and Nicholas in the woods, Sasha and Father Gabriel, their little ordeal that was in the, I guess it was a church or some other room or whatever. And then you had Rick and Porchstick. do you think any of
just call Pete Porchstick? I mean, basically, he's Porchstick.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Who had this weird affinity for,
Porchstick and Mother
Day.
Thank
you for
that.
Yeah. Should any of them been handled differently? Or would you probably would have preferred for them and any of them to end any differently?
Sasha and Gabriel, I want both to die. I was really hoping they'd kill each other because that would eliminate my problem. You know, I don't like either character.
It's a two for one special.
I get what they're trying to do with Sasha. It just doesn't play. It came out of nowhere and it's just not working for me.
That seems forced to me.
It was totally forced. Totally. And now she's laying around with zombies. You know, she's whatever. She's sleeping.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, Sleeping Beauty. What the fuck is that? I don't understand what you're doing right now. But I get what they're trying to say she's doing. It's just not working.
Yeah.
And Gabriel is just like father dick. He's just walking around being just a dick everywhere he goes.
I love that every character that we hate just has the nickname Dick somewhere in there.
At some point. Father Dick.
Reverend
Dick.
Sniper Dick. That's Sasha. So, I mean, it's just. Oh, I don't like either one of those characters. Glenn, I don't understand why Glenn didn't kill him when he had the chance. But I guess Glenn isn't as far gone as Rick.
Well, I like
as far
that,
over that
actually.
Line.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of what we expected.
Not me. That was if there's anybody that out of those six people that really deserved to die, it was that Nicholas guy because he not once but like three or four times. He came close to being responsible for my death.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. One time you acted a little crazy. We had a talk, you know, all right. You shoot me in the fucking shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Try to shoot me elsewhere. And if I hadn't had the sense to run away, I would be dead in a ditch because he come running up on that hill with that gun ready to finish Glenn off. And, you know, Glenn luckily had the sense to run away. But no, you made a very concise, definitive effort to kill me. There is no more, you know, mercy or whatever. Game over. Fool me once, fine.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, I'm dead. No.
Can we all agree that there's no way Glenn could possibly get out of that zombie pile up that he was under?
Yeah.
He goes commercial
and he's got 25 zombies on him. Yeah.
But he's Glenn. He got out of it. What? Asians are quick. They're not that quick. I'm sorry. You can't. You've got one on top of you and three at you.
That's a point where being good at math is not going to help you.
Exactly. 1 + 1 + 2 + 1 + 2 + 1 + 2 + 1. No, it doesn't help. And the Rick and Pete thing, I really loved that. If you go back and rewatch the episode, Carol set Pete up. She went in. She threatened him. She completely got him wound up because she knew in her heart that that would happen, because she's dealt with abusive people before, and I think she knows how to work them. I think she wanted him to come to that meeting all fucking pissed off.
But she did it with a mask of compassion or mask.
Would you really call a knife to the throat compassion?
She brought a casserole to
with a knife to the throat. Betty fucking psycho Crocker. That's not compassionate.
Yeah.
Psycho Crocker. Yeah. That's what she is, Psycho Crocker. No.
Who would you say is the moral compass now? Scott? Aaron? Whoever?
I would probably go with Carol. Yeah.
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 Really?
As far as I'm concerned, she's the leader of the group at this point.
That's what it says in Scott's notes, so that's what I'm going with.
Well, sorry, I thought I was writing on my own notes. No, but I mean, seriously, like, at this point, Rick is, like, the leader of the group, but I think the only reason that Rick is leader of the group is because Carol is letting him think that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's really running the show.
Well, for a while, you know, Dale was kind of the moral compass, you know, the guy that was, he kind of had the, hey, this is what we should do. I understand y'all want to do this, but this is what we should do. Herschel was really much better at it. He was that guy for the longest time. It's almost like they really...
Oh, you mean like the wisdom, the wise one? That'd be Michonne is really, I think Carol is the one you want to follow. Michonne is the one that is the most rational at this point. Because Carol's got a lot of anxiety and issues. And I mean, she's threatening kids, so I guess she's probably not the most moral.
Mentally stable.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And Michonne seems to have a good grasp. And especially, you know, a lot of people didn't like her explanation of why she knocked Rick out. But I really thought it played to her character. She's like, I didn't do that for them. I did that for you because you were going to get yourself killed. I guess if you're asking moral compass, yes, it'd be Michonne probably. That's my answer.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually who mine was, which is kind of bad because usually the moral compass ends up dying. So that's.
Yeah. But if you want to know the person that I want leading my ass, that's going to save me, it's Carol. Mm-hmm. All the way, Carol.
Well, all right. I guess that kind of leads me to my next question then, Aaron. Who do you think is the most likely to thrive in this new environment?
Carol. Carol, she can fake out. She can be Psycho Crocker, or she can be somebody who's like a little bit more... she can go either way. She realizes that she needs to find her place and pretend to be someone she's not in order to really assess the situation, where Rick is a little too headstrong, a little too, you know, balls out. Carol is playing it smart. She's being very manipulative. She's working the angles. She's trying to understand this entire community. But she also has a plan for everything. You know, she's not afraid to do whatever is necessary to live. And I just think Carol's the one that understands how things are.
I agree.
Scott?
I really agree. I mean, it was my same answer for the moral compass. They're both in the same wheelhouse for me. I think she's the most, even though she does some messed up things, especially with the threatening kids, but I think she did that because that was the only way to make that happen. That was her only out. Because you're dealing with a kid. The only way to get a kid to do what you want is to scare the crap out of him.
Do you think she'd kill him? If she had to?
No.
She's killed one before.
I wouldn't be surprised if she did.
She was not comfortable. I mean, look at how much...
Well, nobody's comfortable killing a kid, but sometimes shit's got to be done. Judith needs to go, too.
But the difference between that was there was a lot of buildup in that. In this instance where you would have, if she would have had to kill this kid, it would have been, it had to have been a quick decision kind of thing.
In this, in this case, though, the, you know, as childlike as this civil, as this group is, the Alexandrians are, this kid is really even more so.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way you can get away with, you know, just scaring him. But I agree with you. She's that nobody adapts to the situation like Carol does. Nobody adapts to the situation as quickly as Carol does. And she reads whatever they're going into much better and faster than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they step into that and then they get this Susie Homemaker, you know, this, this Mayberry looking, greeting, and they, okay, we're, you mean we're going to assimilate ourselves into this and they want us. Okay. Bam. She changes gear. She downshifts into, no, I've never seen, I've seen a gun and I've held it. I've, I don't know what to do with it. Is this the end that you, what is this, the shooting end? You know, is this what you, okay, show me. Yeah. Cause I, you know, I don't know. Ugh, this is funny, you know, and
I've had a couple disagreements with people where they tell me that, well, it's kind of ridiculous that her character has evolved like this and now she's basically the Terminator, which I don't believe she is. But I'm like, if you go back and rewatch it, she was basically an abused woman who pretended to be somebody she's not to survive because her husband was going to beat the shit out of her.
Yep.
And I think that really fits the character. And in this world, she doesn't have to do it to survive. She can use all the things that she did for years to her advantage. And I think it really fits the character. I really do.
Well, flip side of that, who do you think's least likely to thrive in this normal ish environment?
I'm calling it out. Sasha's the next one to bite the dust. I mean, she's,
I'm just, that's being optimistic.
I mean, not just cause I want her to, but because she's losing it. I mean, she at this point has to go just for writing's sake, but she's got nothing to hold on to. She's unstable. I can't see her becoming any benefit to the group, much less surviving.
Even with this moment that she had with Father Gabriel, where it was almost like this, they calmed each other down and maybe brought a little bit of level-headedness to each other. Do you
and prayer still, time and shit at the end of the episode, yeah, where they're all like doing kumbaya and singing Beetlejuice yeah. songs.
Yeah. Singing Beetlejuice songs. No, I mean, knowing the way the writers are, they just kind of do the opposite of what we think is going to happen. They'll probably be prolonged for the next three or four seasons or however long this show goes on. But in reality, I don't see her more than Gabriel, actually,
mm-hmm.
just because I anticipate Gabriel being fleshed out more and become more interesting.
I really hope so. They've had a few episodes to do that, and it mm-hmm. hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the leaving the gate open was kind of a, why did he do that? What was, you know, we're getting there, but it still wasn't enough to make him interesting. So
I think it's Daryl. Least likely to thrive in this environment, Daryl. I think Daryl needs out. He can't stay there.
Yeah, really? I agree too. I think it's again, it's that kind of caged animal
mm-hmm.
Reference. It's he needs it. Luckily, they've given him the job of that's probably perfect for him. Send him out and
on a motorcycle. Let
him do, mm-hmm. Yeah, let him do his thing. But the more the civilization grows, the more. Yeah, the more normal it gets and the more secure it gets, he's, you know, just leap. But I agree with you. I think he's least likely to adapt to it. And we are getting a little close here to wrapping this season recap up. I do have a few more questions for you guys, though. How is it that Rick is so easily took up farming and pacifism and all this stuff in an environment that really wasn't as secure as Alexandria, but mm-hmm. he struggles to do so now.
Because he's been through a lot more. I mean, Scott really answered this question. He's been through a lot more. He's been through Terminus. He's been through the hospital, I think, at this point. It's just he realizes that people are the real threat in this world, not zombies.
Right. And
he can't relax, because as soon as you relax, that's when you lose it all.
I agree.
Fair enough. Well, what's the one thing that you hope the show does not continue to do?
does not continue to do?
Yes. Because we've said a lot, you know, we've got a lot of praise of the, you know, of the writing and the twist, and you think it's going to be one thing and they do the opposite or something that you wouldn't have thought of. But
I think I like that Scott Gimple, who again is a showrunner, has this every 8 episodes is like we reinvent the show. I like that. I think sometimes it feels rushed, like they rush a plot line and then you end up spending like 2 episodes wandering a road. I don't want them to continue to do that. If you're going to introduce a new set piece or a new location, give us some time, let it breathe some, because I don't need to be back on the roads of Georgia. I've seen most of Georgia at this point, or wherever they're at now. I mean, it all happens to be Georgia, so it looks the same. I've already seen about as many options as you can have of broken down cars and all that. So just give me character dynamics and whatever this location you're trying to stretch out. I don't want a whole bunch of road trips. Stop giving me so many road trips when you've got really interesting environments that you could be exploring.
What do you guys think about this whole like zombie kill of the week thing? I seem like as much
now
as
it's
this,
zombie land all of a sudden.
As much as this episode ramped it up and made maybe the coolest zombie kill I've seen the entire series, I feel like we always have to keep pushing that envelope a little bit. Or even the gore. There was an episode this season that might have been the most gruesome death of a character I've seen that I'm still shocked that they were able to get away with on cable.
Which one was that?
Was it Noah?
Is that the one with Noah got
in the revolving door?
Oh, yeah.
Where, like that was very... like in your face and visceral. I mean, it was
cool.
It was cool, but it's also cable. Like
I'm surprised that they keep coming up with kills that are really gross, man. After everything they've done, I'm like, wow, there's one I haven't seen. I can't believe you found one.
The kill I'm talking about is the chain whip to the three heads of the zombies. That was just freaking cool as hell. I just
it was cool, but I'm like, what? Now you are close to Zombieland with that one.
Right.
That's like, all right, I realize that Daryl is this mythical figure who rides around on a fucking unicorn and everybody loves him. But come on, he's taking a chain, he's ripping three heads off at the same...
Yeah, with a chain that's probably like 25 pounds or something. You know,
right,
that you're
yeah.
just whipping like it's just a thin whip that you would... I don't know. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they always give him like those kills.
It was as absurd as it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. awesome, but it was really...
did make me go, that was cool.
It was cool, but if you stop for 30 seconds, you're exactly. like, what the fuck was that?
In the moment, it was cool. Yeah. But that's the kind of thing I hope is that doesn't become like you said, Zombieland.
Yeah. All right, Perseus, you can stop, you know, taking them all out now.
Perseus.
All right. Well, a couple of little quick shots here. What'd you think about the return of Morgan and longer than just a, you know, 30-second shot of him looking at some trees or something.
Oh, finally, because we knew it was coming. We've been seeing little shots of him here and there, and we knew it was coming and was not unsatisfied with his return at all, because that opening with him... Where
Book
he
of
was,
Eli? Yeah.
Where he was like... He had like a bow staff that he was using like freaking... what's his name on Star Wars with the double-ended lightsaber?
To me, he's
Book
like...
Book of Eli. He's the Book of yeah. Eli.
He's like Kane from... Kung Fu.
He's all meditative and...
He's all like, oh no, man. Like all of life is special and I'll kick your ass if you make me, but I don't want to do it.
Well, especially because we haven't seen his transition from crazy to what he is now.
I know, I can't wait to see that.
That's what I'm really interested to see. What made him become so calm and yet badass at the same time, whereas he was just insane for when we saw him, what, in episode... Or season 3, was it?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the season. I love the opening. The opening scene where he's sitting down and he's talking to this guy who obviously wants to kill him, the guy with the wolves.
Mm-hmm. The W on his forehead.
Yeah, you know, the W on his forehead that some people think is different. I'm like, no, it's a W. George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And when they're having that scene, I think, because Lenny James, Brian and I have talked about this before, we're big fans of Lenny James mm-hmm. from other shows. Yeah.
What was he in besides?
Like, he's been in Jericho. He's been in a ton.
He was Jericho was a popular show that he was in, but I mean, I Snatch, the Guy Ritchie movie is one of my favorite shows movies that he was in.
That's where I've seen him.
I love how people didn't know he was British. Like, he went on Talking Dead. He was like, wait, he's British?
That was pretty funny, though.
But that whole scene, I mean, that showed how good an actor he is, because he played through a series of emotions in that one scene. And even if, okay, when do you become a kung fu master? I guess we'll figure that out. I mean, you kind of got to swallow that with the mythical Daryl. Right. But I love Lenny James so much. I'm just so happy that he's on the show. And I don't think he'll be a regular. I actually hope I'm wrong. But I really think they're going to continue to make him this this loner who comes in and out of Rick's life throughout the course of the series. I actually think that would be kind of cool.
See, I think he's been I think he's been tracking down Rick all this time. I think I hope he is. I mean, like you, I do hope he is a regular, because I'm a huge Lenny James fan, and it just seems unfulfilling to have him teased for two seasons. You finally get to see him, and then he joins, and then, well, all right, glad you guys are okay now. So I'm going to go wander off towards Nebraska now, because there's something going on out there. I've got a cousin.
I'm
going
to go wander into the prequel series. All right.
Yeah. You know, then maybe he gets his own spinoff where he's just like I said, like Kane, and it's a procedural where he just helps out somebody, you know.
That would be kind of
cool. After week after week.
I would watch that. I would absolutely watch that.
So here's what I want to know, and maybe I've missed something here, and I don't have this on the format, so I apologize, but have we had any explanation about the trees with the markings on them? You know, you saw the tree with like the X-Men symbol, and there's like a line and this little symbol and this little, that little symbol. Morgan's even looking at these symbols. And if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong here, but these symbols are even on trees in Virginia versus Georgia. What, have I missed something explaining these things, or do you even know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know off the top of my head, and I wasn't prepared for it.
I kind of made the assumption that those were the symbols made by this group, this new group that were introduced to the wolves, because it wasn't one of them like a three, like a,
like I thought they were connected, but I don't think it's been answered. I don't think it's been answered. If it has, I don't know what the answer is.
It's still a mystery. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, the, when you saw, Morgan with his Book of Eli moment at, you know, just before Terminus, you see him walk off and there's trees with symbols on them, like they're giving directions towards something.
Well, that's the thing is, like, in the last season, everyone was following the Terminus signs, like, follow this road to get to Terminus, whereas every shot we saw of Morgan was him looking at symbols on trees. Mm-hmm. So either he didn't believe the Terminus symbols or was following these tree symbols instead, but they all got him to the same place eventually, so...
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. They made a prominent shot of it. To me, they made enough of a show of it that they've got to give some kind of explanation for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think it'll become later. I really don't recall any explanation for it.
All right. Well, real quick, we don't really need a whole lot of explanation, but unless somebody else just wants to hear more about it, but got a few questions on who dies first, Glenn or Maggie?
Ooh, who dies? I think it's going to be Glenn. Yeah.
I think Maggie.
You think Maggie?
I think Maggie.
Okay. All right. All right. Rick or Daryl?
Well, Daryl.
Rick.
You think Rick will die before Daryl?
Yep. Because if Daryl dies, then people will stop watching the show. They will kill off.
No. I think Rick is, he's the star.
He's the glue.
Carl's not good enough to carry the show yet, so you need to get him better.
He's almost old enough.
He's like 45 last time I checked. He's like that one kid from Game of Thrones. He's like 45 years old. He's like 6 foot tall. Yeah.
All right. Michonne or Abraham?
Abraham.
I don't know. Family.
I don't know, man. He starts uttering mother dick and... Zombies start dying left and right, man. I don't know.
That's like his catchphrase now. He just, or his trigger word.
That's his Shazam, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really... Michonne. I think Michonne dies first. No, Abraham, because the mustache will probably give him away when he's hiding. Because it stands out like a bush.
Like it glows in the dark or something?
It does, yeah.
He hides at the back of the room, but the mustache kind of works his way out the door, the bottom of the door.
That it does. It's kind of like a weave. It's like a mouth weave. So
he tries to hide behind curtains, and it just like sticks out.
Exactly.
All right. Last one, Carl or Carol?
Better be Carl, because I tell you what, Carol, I never want her to die at this point.
Yeah, I think Carl as well.
All right.
Plus, I think Carl would be a pretty impactful story-wise.
How about we kill Judith instead? Seriously, pipe bomb. Use it. I think it would be fantastic if Carol... Oh, think about it. I've been preaching this pipe bomb for a while.
Put a pacifier on the end of a piece of stick of dynamite, light the dynamite, and then throw them both.
Jesus. No, you don't need dynamite. All you got to do is just like shake the baby a little bit and just throw it in a herd of zombies. I think Carol would be the one that would do it because she's like, hey, you know, we all got to survive. This,
you find some
bubble. I'm tired of dragging her around.
Yeah, but you know, like in Left 4 Dead, it's like the pipe bomb.
Yeah, that's what I just said, a pipe bomb.
Yeah.
You can't say it when I've already said it, Brian. It doesn't make it yours.
I
already
said
it. I'm
just using dynamite instead of pipe bomb. No, all right, whatever. What else you got? You got anything else?
No, it was a great, great finale. I really liked how they ended it with Rick blowing away a man who's defenseless on the ground right in front of Morgan, who is in this zen-like state. It really makes me really curious for the next season, the upcoming season.
Where do they go from here? That's what I want to know. I mean, we obviously have the new enemies, the wolves.
I think the first half of season 6 will be the wolves, yes.
And how awesome is that they have lured walkers into these semi-trailers as a trap.
That's a great trap.
And like to just have like the radios going or whatever to get them to walk up into them.
Yeah, but where was Daryl's sense? Where he's white walking around and he doesn't even think to like tap on the trailer and be like, hey, is anything in there?
Yeah, there was, I mean, yeah, the chain whip aside, there was definitely some head scratching on. How are you just taking this stuff for granted at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know?
Because he's all making twinkly eyes at Aaron. And
I mean, I know that.
Oh, yeah, they're making some eyes in that car. I don't care. Everybody can get angry if they want. There's a little bit of, you know, my boyfriend's back in town. And, you know,
if there wasn't a crowd around, they'd be, you know, cuddling.
You should never trust anybody named Aaron.
I agree. Did you see the look? He's like, hey, you want to go out with me? I never want to put my boyfriend in danger. I'd rather spend long amounts of time with you on the road alone.
Even the gay guy is enraptured by Daryl, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, who's not? I mean, let's just face it.
Anyone who appreciates hygiene, that's who's not. God damn, dude.
Next season, he's Chewbacca.
I realize you're making a point, but your point is disgusting. Take a bath.
This point, you've been behind the walls enough. It's you need to take a bath now. Now you're affecting everybody else for blocks.
Exactly.
Now you're attracting,
introducing new bacteria at this point.
It's a whole different type of
strain.
Zombie disease.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, I mean, pretty much lastly at this point, how long do you think Alexandria stands? I mean, we did kind of jokingly talk about how every place they touch just ends up burning to the ground, but do you think this place becomes another, maybe like a stronghold, or just kind of laid to waste?
I actually kind of hope it does stand, just because, like we mentioned earlier, everything else has kind of burnt to the ground and gone to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a writing standpoint, it would be more interesting if Alexandria doesn't just go to shit.
Absolutely. I won't play it out a little bit.
Yeah, it becomes a beacon for more than even a season. Let that be a place that they go out and do something and then kind of actually come back to Alexandria to wrap things up or something interesting happens there. Keep it going. They separate, but they still are kind of welcome back with open arms a little bit at some point.
I got welcome back Cotter stuck in my head now, you dick. You poor
dick. I've got Journey open arms.
You mother
know, stuck
dick.
In my head.
And so I run to you. You got to keep them separated.
With open arms.
I want it to play out.
Yeah. I don't want it to be another Terminus where, like, we just forget about it. Granted, we've been at Alexandria a lot longer already than we were at Terminus, but I want to still keep it going, because there's a lot going on there.
I want to know if Rick gets to say, because basically Deanna's son and husband have both died since they got there. If I were her...
She told him to.
I know. But, you know, and then she's like, yeah. Oh, I need you because you got to kill that guy because you got to kill Porch Dick because he just killed my husband, Stiffneck. And then she's cool with it all of a sudden. She's cool with him basically because...
She had a moment of weakness as well.
That's her what I'm thinking. Husband I'm just thinking died. The next...
Yeah, she's too half, emotional right now. She's like, and that's going to be her. Up. That's going to be her rationale later. Is you know, she's going to, you know, she's going to fight with Rick over it at some point. And I know I told you to do that, but
yep,
I wasn't in my right frame of mind, and
yeah,
I shouldn't have done that. And blah 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 blah.
Get out, Rick. Get out. Or, well, no, he's going to hook up with Jesse, so he can't hook up with Deanna, because Jesse's, I mean, she's a widow now. I got a feeling by episode, season six, episode 1.1. He's gonna be deep in there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's gonna be making Carl Jr. So,
wow,
Carlith.
Exactly. Wow. You don't as think so? I mean, I think he kind of was hoping. He's like, oh, thank you, Carol, for setting that up because I get the win now. He's in there.
I just hope she goes back to being a redhead.
Who's a redhead?
She was the redhead in season one of American Horror Story.
Oh, I didn't watch American Horror was? Story. The Jess is the redhead Jesse. From...
Wow. She was the maid or whatever it was. Because
There were two versions of the maid, right? The old version and the younger version. Wow.
Well, guess which one she was, Scott.
She was the old one? She was made up?
Mind blown.
No, she was the hot, very seductive young one.
I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, at the time of this recording, we do have a little over 7 months until season six kicks off.
Well, keep in mind, because we repost this, so can you not say that? That would be cool.
He said well, that's at the time I of this recording.
At the time of this recording.
All right.
I think that he pretty much covered his bases there.
Because we repost it, so I don't want to confuse people. Like, to think, wow, my listen is really late? I don't know what just happened.
You're saying our listeners don't know what at the time of this recording means?
When Brian says it, because he takes so many fucking pauses in between words, I don't know. They might have
trailed off. You know what? There'd be a whole lot less pauses if you wouldn't have interrupted me there, would it?
Wrap it up.
All right. All right. But hey, we should have the shortened spinoff season this summer called Fear the Walking Dead. I guess that's the apparent title of it. Is it a little bit of a Walker overload? We'll see.
Real quick, are we looking forward to that? I really am. I'm like, I'll check it out. I don't really know if I'm excited about it yet.
I feel like I haven't seen enough yet to get super excited about it, but I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm. Same boat.
I'm more excited about this spinoff than I am the Better Call Saul. I can tell you that.
Okay. Oh, man, I like that show.
Do you? Because I haven't heard good, really, I haven't heard anything about it, which tells me that it's probably not as...
Oh, man, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I really am.
I'll binge watch it. But this one, The Fear of the Walking Dead, I'm not excited. I will wait and see like the first couple episodes where they're going, and then we'll... I hope it's as good.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, to the listeners, remember our normal weekly podcast drop on Tuesdays. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Tweet us at @H_outsider. Be sure to join our page and group on Facebook at facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Aaron and Scott, I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks
it's for always my pleasure to drive the bus on these special podcasts, and I hope it's been half as fun for you guys as it is for me. Thank you sincerely.
Absolutely, man. It's a good time.
Thank you, Hillbilly Dick.
Everybody's a dick with you, aren't they?
What am I, nerd dick?
Game dick?
Game dick.
Game dick. Yeah, that one just rolls off the tongue way too easy, don't it?
A little bit.
All right, guys. Well, that'll do for this season 5 recap of The Walking Dead. Thank you for listening. And remember, the next time you go to the movies, buy popcorn.
What do you do if you're watching TV shows?
Pop popcorn.
Pop your own popcorn.
You know, I was thinking... how many of you do I have to kill to save? save your lives. But I'm not going to do that. You're going to change. I'm not sorry for what I said last night. I'm sorry for not saying it sooner. You're not ready. But you have to be. Right now, you have to be. Luck runs out.